And just outside our office here on 9th and Victoria in downtown Prince George, there's a new crosswalk. And the crosswalk plays a new sound. It's a little tough to describe. So we sent our associate producer, Andrew Curietta, out to record it for you and get some reactions.
Absolutely horrible. Just, it couldn't be more annoying. The only good thing about it is it gets me across the street faster. But other than that, I have no idea why they could have done it.
How would you describe it?
Ear-splittingly annoying. Like, it just, it grates. See, there it is. It's just horrible.
You would have just heard it, this new crosswalk sound. What do you think about it?
Unique. It's different. It's about time. It has something different.
I think it sounds like a Mexican horn. You know, like a car horn, a Mexican car horn.
How do you like it?
It's better than before, because you can at least hear it.
So, is that worth the trade-off?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a bit embarrassing when it goes off.
Why is that?
It's very loud.
And so you feel like it draws attention to you?
Yes.
I'm just asking people their opinion on that new crosswalk sound.
It surprised me the first day. Kind of sounds a bit like a clown car, to be honest, though. Just that doo-doo-doo, kind of sounds like a clown car honking its horn. It's a little comical.
How do you like it?
Well, at least it's loud and clear, so people do know.
Some reactions to the new crosswalk sound in downtown Prince George. That sound is actually the new standard for crosswalks in BC and are being installed all along Victoria Street as well as Highway 97 from 5th Avenue to the Highway 16 intersection and on Highway 16 West. And it's called the Canadian Melody. It was actually developed in part by Douglas Gooby. He's the Vice President and Chief Technology Officer of Novax Industries based out of Delta, BC. And he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
First of all, what do you think of those reactions to the Canadian Melody?
I actually found it encouraging.
Hmm.
And
how so?
I say that because of originally when accessible signals were first put out, and this is going back probably the earliest ones are 1980, for instance, right?
Right.
And, you know, they were originally done with the chirp and the cuckoo, and that came actually two sounds that came out of Japan. And I think it was supposed to be so it kind of blended in with the environment to look better. But yeah, one of the difficulties, though, is that I think some people realize that, you know, some of the sounds could be emulated by a real bird and it could be misleading. Mm. And so there was some interest with some university developers that we were involved with back east in Montreal, and they come up with some different sounds. But, you know, the fact that they had acknowledged the sound and heard it, you know, it means that they knew the walk signal was up and they actually started crossing at the beginning of the walk signal. And that's a big thing, and something I often hear when we're doing research projects is that, you know, people say that usually the sounds are great. You know, whether they like the particular sound or not is another issue, but the fact that they actually lets them know that, hey, the walk signal's up. So, you know, you might be distracted by looking at traffic or looking at your phone or something, but he says, hey, the walk signal's up. It's time to leave. And so usually people are walking across the street as opposed to running when you notice that, hey, the flashing hand is up and you don't know how much time you have left. And then you start bolting across the street, maybe not watching traffic as much as you should be. So, so the fact that they actually were, you know, they heard it and they reacted to it, I think that was actually a good thing in terms of just pedestrian safety.
Right, there you go. And I understand this tune was first known as the Montreal Melody. Can you tell me about its history a little bit?
Yes, it was back in probably about the mid-90s, worked with the City of Montreal and the Institute of Louis Braille and a couple of fine researchers. I'll mention the names Carol Zavahilo and Chantal Roche, University of Ottawa, and developing some sounds that would help people for what they call wayfinding. And that's for mainly it was intended for blind pedestrians or pedestrians that have a visual difficulty. And what that would do is that they would, first of all, let somebody know that was blind that the walk signal was on. And the second thing is that they also had a component of it that would help them with wayfinding, you know, in terms of crossing the street and to knowing where to cross. And they had we developed a four-tone melody, which is what you hear there in Prince George, which is part of the walk. There's also a three-tone component that they also used for it. It was just three of the tones that were used during the flashing hand, and that would assist with crossing, you know, actually helping somebody crossing the street as well. And of course, the type of tones that were chosen were ones that had a high harmonic component to it, and designed so even if somebody had a hearing difficulty, right, or there was really loud traffic noises, that you would easily be able to distinguish this from everything else in the environment, and you knew that was a walk signal.
Right. So, like, as you age, you because you can't hear high frequency as well, this has frequencies that most people can hear.
Exactly. So you have to cover a very broad range of frequencies to make sure that everybody can hear it from low to high.
And I'm trying to understand, you're a musician, right?
Yes, and my background,
yeah. Yeah, so I guess, did that play a part in how you came up with the tune, in a way?
I think not so much, but I think it was something, because we were working with Sin City Montreal, and I think there was just an interest to have something that was pleasing at the same time that, you know, people thought generally were pleasing. And they did a lot of research, you know, spending time in parking lots and having people going through and asking what they thought about it, and, you know, trying to do some refinement. So something that seemed to be the, you know, best, the middle of the ground, I guess, between, you know, what people thought was interesting and a kind of a nice background. It wasn't irritating.
Right.
I know there's a gentleman there I thought was irritating. I guess you can't please everybody.
No. But, you know. Now, it's interesting. You developed this, you say, in the late 90s, and here we are, gosh, almost two decades later, and it's still slowly rolling out across the country. Why do you think it's taken so long?
I think it's just because of general usage. I mean, there was the chirp and the cuckoo were used for so long. People are used to it. People are comfortable with it. And it's always difficult to change. And it's also expensive for municipalities. You know, you spent a lot of money doing infrastructure. Now it's like, now there's a change. It's like, oh, we have to change it. Mm-hmm. And so that has to be kind of planned and budgeted and make sure that people are advised. And, you know, so there's a lot of effort in there. It does take some time.
Do you think this could become the new standard as, I guess, especially once they start replacing crosswalks? Do you think this could become the new standard across Canada?
Absolutely. I mean, it was standardized in the 2000s in the city of Montreal first, and then it was the province of Quebec. And then eventually it led, I think it was about 2007, it crept into the Canadian national standard as being a recommended practice, you know, going forwards. And so, you know, it's taken a little bit of time for, you know, municipalities and provinces to adopt it. And like everything, like I say, it's one of these things, it's a very large undertaking, and things like that do take some time. But I think it is, you know, coming across as being a standard that's accepted. I've even heard it being used down in the United States in some applications where they wanted to replace that chirp sound as well. So who knows?
So it could extend beyond Canada, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it kind of neat for you to hear this sound you helped create it's been so many years now, out on the streets of different cities?
Absolutely. I always get a source of enjoyment when we travel on, because we have tens of thousands of these things around the country. And whenever you go somewhere and you hear it kind of thing, and you hear people actually using it, and some of the best anecdotal things I hear from clients, you know, from City of Victoria, for instance, said that, you know, they're watching, you know, just one day before they put them in, they're kind of watching how people were crossing, and then they put the audible signals in and watch. And they noticed that, you know, kids all of a sudden that were sitting down there, they were talking with their friends or on their phones. When the sound went off, they immediately looked up at the walk, and then they started crossing and walking across the street, right? And we thought this is a really good, actually, training, not just for the blind, but for everybody, and to increase the amount of safety and efficiency of travel by training people how to look at, you know, when to look at the walk signals and how to look at them.
Interesting. Well, we definitely have taken notice here. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Take care.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. Bye-bye. Douglas Gooby is the Vice President and CTO of Novax Industries out of Delta. And if you haven't heard it, you can head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/DaybreakNorth, to hear that Canadian melody. And you let us know what you think. You can email us at daybreaknorth@cbc.ca. You can also call our listener line, 1-866-340-1932. And again, Facebook and Twitter at Daybreak North.